never before in the history of manufacturing, maybe a blacksmith or something like that, that got started with some ironworks, but can you actually start and impact the manufacturing supply chain with a piece of equipment in your home office? And I think if you come up with a design, and just like you would anything else, you come up, if you're an inventor and an entrepreneur, you come up with a design and it's a good one and you can get it out there in the normal path that you would, whether it's patented or not, I don't know. You have the opportunity to build something special and make that a career.
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. We tell the stories of people who are defining the future of work. Our guests walk the tightrope, away from meaningless toil and towards work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell and the insights that they provide will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place. For the future of work is meaningful work. It is week 5 of working from home, and some of us are using our free time to make a difference in the fight against the COVID-19 coronavirus by sewing face masks and brewing hand sanitizer. And those of us with 3D printers are tinkering with the technology to make protective face shields for healthcare workers. This crisis is bringing out the best in people who are eager to make a positive difference. But could additive technology like 3D printing become a future of work trend? We pose that and other questions to Andrew Resnick. He is the Director of Communications and Public Affairs for America Makes, the nation's leading collaborative partner in additive printing and 3D printing technology research, discovery, creation, and innovation. Additive manufacturers, from big companies to people tinkering with 3D printers in their basements, are filling an important supply chain gap for personal protective equipment required by our frontline healthcare professionals. And what Andrew makes very clear is that additive technology is a game changer. It is creating amazing career opportunities for thousands of people seeking meaningful work. To that end, additive technology is a big driver in the future of work. We spoke with Andrew Resnick earlier this week on Zoom. Andrew Resnick, welcome to the Tightrope.
Thank you. Good to be on.
So you are with America Makes. What is that and what's its mission?
America Makes is an Innovation Institute sponsored by the Department of Defense. And it was created in 2012. I don't know if you recall, back in 2012, Obama had a big initiative to really re-spark and reignite manufacturing throughout the country. In this whole nexus of, we were slipping in terms of being on the forefront of innovative manufacturing in the country and what the next wave of manufacturing was going to be. So as part of that, he established the Manufacturing USA Initiative. And what that was a series of public-private partnerships that came to formation in the form of institutes across the country for different sectors of manufacturing. America Makes is that institute for additive manufacturing and 3D printing. It's based in Youngstown, Ohio. It is considered the Department of Defense's National Innovation Institute for Additive Manufacturing.
So what is additive manufacturing and additive technology?
So additive manufacturing is really, at least the main component of it, is 3D printing. And additive manufacturing is kind of exactly what it says, or what the name indicates. It's a type of manufacturing where basically you're adding the layers to develop a product. Whereas in traditional manufacturing, you would have to use a mold. In additive manufacturing, you can put basically materials through a filter or a nozzle in the 3D printer, and it just adds the layers together to form the product. So it really cuts the production time down significantly.
How big an industry do you think this is going to become?
There's tremendous potential for it. Is additive manufacturing, you see things online all the time about additive manufacturing or 3D printers, you know, producing a home or producing a car. Granted, I'm a little bit new to the industry, but I don't see that being the true future of the industry. I think where the industry really shines is its ability to meet gaps in the supply chain. So a lot of what we're doing right now is focusing on how does additive manufacturing solve a need for a part in a steel mill, right? Where a machine goes down, there's a machining element to it. How can we quickly produce a part that can replace that and get that mill back online. And a lot of our work and the mission of America Makes is to meet the high priority needs of the U.S. economy and the U.S. military. So we do a lot of military work and a lot of support for our armed forces. Part of that is, what's a part that can be printed for an F-22 if there's a part that needs to be replaced? How can we mobilize 3D printing to meet the needs of the warfighter in the theater of battle? You know, is that going to be a future use of it down the road? Whereas, you know, somebody to minimize the amount of time that they're out of the field. So things like that are kind of, how do we shorten the supply chain? How do we find gaps in the supply chain where additive manufacturing can kind of fill those needs? And of course, there's the medical side of it, which we're hearing tons of about right now,
right,
where you're seeing additive manufacturing really play a role in producing, you know, everything from replacements to surgical tools to masks to PPE. It's really a widespread use. But I wouldn't say that the future holds driving around in 3D printed cars or living in 3D printed houses. I don't think that's as realistic.
But what you just mentioned about the supply chain is really interesting, because additive manufacturing is fulfilling a real-time need where there are gaps in, for instance, PPE. Everybody knows what PPE is. So how is America Makes responding to the COVID-19 coronavirus? Give me some examples of how you all are responding to the need.
I think in order just to answer that, I think we also, there just needs to be a little bit of a background on what America Makes is not.
Okay.
We are not a manufacturer. We don't have, a lot of people think, oh, you're the manufacturing, additive manufacturing institute. You have 10 3D printers down in your basement and you can just start churning out product. That's not what we are. I'm not sure I answered your question earlier in terms of what our mission or goals were. A part of our mission is to collaborate, convene, and catalyze, all in the name of advancing the adaptation of additive manufacturing. So we work with a whole array of members and really put them in a position to collaborate in a non-competitive way to come up with the best solutions. And that's really how our mission fits into how we're responding to the COVID-19 crisis right now. We were in some early conversations with our members when the whole crisis broke, and they were asking us questions around liability concerns and if they were going to kind of retool their processes to focus on PPE, and something didn't work in an actual healthcare setting, would they be liable for it? And there were other clarifications around some of the FDA guidance as far as 3D printing PPE products. So through that, we kind of formed a letter. We decided to submit a letter to the FDA commissioner through the help of our Congressman Tim Ryan, and worked with him closely, and Hallie Stevens out of Michigan worked with them closely. Got a letter in the FDA, and within probably about 24 hours, that had turned into a whole effort to start up a database and a repository of information that could collect the capabilities of our members across the country. And then that evolved into not just collecting the capabilities of our members, but collecting the capabilities of all additive manufacturers across the country. At any given time, how many printers did they have? What materials were they capable of using? And what products were they capable of printing? And in what quantity? And then we also said, okay, well, now FDA connected us with NIH and the Veterans Affairs Administration. And now it started becoming this whole big thing of, okay, well, now we're going to collect healthcare data to make sure that we're actually matching the needs that are out there. Because I think what we started seeing was so many face shields, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Such an easy thing to produce. It doesn't require a lot of regulation. It's fairly easy to just curve it a little bit. You don't have to really go with, is it going to work? Is it not going to work? You're just printing a piece of plastic. But we started seeing so many of those. And we wanted to make sure that if 3D printers, or at least folks with 3D printers throughout the country, whether that's a manufacturer or an individual maker, were meeting this need safely and effectively. So we felt that it was our responsibility in terms of our mission in the organization to create that repository and that database to collect the healthcare needs, to collect the capabilities, and make sure people were actually matching those up together. And they could do that through our website, if that makes sense. Kind of went off there.
Well, no, but it's really interesting, Andrew, because are there too many face shields and not enough of something else? Is that the problem?
Well, I think what we're seeing is everybody just hears on the news what the need is, right? Or everybody says, oh, there's a need for face shields and face masks. Well, I don't know how to make a face mask because there's a filter component to it, but it's very simple to make a face shield. So I'm going to go off and do that.
Right.
Or their neighbor is a nurse in the ER, and the nurse comes home and complains to them that they don't have any face shields or face masks. And, you know, hey, you've got a 3D printer. Can you print off 50 of them for me and I can go hand them out at my household with my team? You know, things like that. So I think people are naturally gravitating towards what they're hearing the most about. The third part of the database that we have, I think, really speaks to that specific question, is we have, as part of the database, folks who can create a 3D printing blueprint or design can upload that blueprint through our website, and it gets fast-tracked for review by the Veterans Affairs Administration. And then that review assigns it review for use in a clinical setting or review for use in a medical setting. And it lives on an existing database run by NIH called the NIH 3D Print Exchange. And it'll have those labels on it. So if you go to the NIH 3D Print Exchange, they have a specific page for COVID. It'll have all the designs that have come through our system. I think to date we've had, I think it's as of yesterday when I saw it, was about 89 designs have come through the system. 11 of them have been reviewed for clinical use. I think 3 of them have been reviewed for community use, and there's a whole bunch that are still going through the process. But the goal of that was to do 2 things. It was one, to give people the confidence that they could go someplace to find designs that have been reviewed and are safe for use in a medical setting. Number one, has to happen. And number two, it allowed us to really zero in on, okay, these 3 or 4 designs for a face mask are the designs you should be using. Instead of having hundreds of different designs out there, we could funnel people to an area where, one, you know it's been reviewed for medical use, and it limits the amount of variants that's out there in terms of the design and allows people to hone in on a limited set of that. What we've seen on the site so far is a lot of people initially submitted the face shield designs, and I think we're going to be backing away from that now and focusing on face masks. We're going to be announcing actually a maker challenge coming up in the next couple of days that's in partnership with the Veterans Affairs Administration. There's a design on that site that seeks to solve the N95 issue, the N95 mask that we're all hearing about. There's some certain issues into it as far as why it cannot be printed successfully using 3D printing. And I think it's more from the filter side of things, where we're going to be basically having a hackathon where we're asking them to tinker with that design to get it right. And then eventually that design will be the one where we'll push out as, this is the N95 design. This has been reviewed for medical use. Start printing this.
You mentioned the term hackathon. There are a lot of people sheltered in place at home. You are, your wife is, I am, my wife is. Some of us are trying to use our time proactively. And I would imagine a good portion of people out there who are used to working in an office setting or not at home are tinkering in their basement with a 3D printer and saying, what can I do with this? More importantly, what can I do with this that will create a greater good? And that to me, Andrew, is really, really exciting. So let's speak to those people out there who want to try to do something for the greater good, perhaps through their own additive technology, their own 3D printing capabilities. How would they do that?
I think you nailed what is so cool about the additive manufacturing industry, is that anybody can do it. I think one of the coolest things that we've seen coming out of this, if you could spin it, you know, spin a positive out of this whole crisis, is the amazing innovation that's taking place in the additive manufacturing space. And that's from those larger companies that have the capabilities to produce in large scale, and individual makers who are just, hey, I've got a printer in my house and I've got nothing better to do, so I'm going to go try to print off 10 masks or 10 shields and deliver them up to the local hospital. We've seen so many stories about that. And what I would say to people now is, if you have a printer, if you're curious about it, go on to the American Make site, americanmakes.us. You can see our COVID, there's a tab for the COVID-19 response, and it'll take you to our repository. If you have a printer at home, go through that repository and go to the NIH exchange to find safe and effective designs and print them out. And if you know of a need in your area, print them out to fill that need. But we're just making sure that people who want to do that, who want to help out, know that there's a safe and effective vehicle to ensure that what they're doing is just that, safe and effective, and it's going to work. And if you have questions about it, if you have questions about, I don't know what the need is in my community, we're taking those needs as well, and we know what they are. So feel free to reach out to us. I'm sure in your show notes, you can leave my email, but we also have an email, COVID-19@americanmakes.us. Reach out to us. We can help match your need if you don't know specifically what it is in your area, or feel free to call your local provider, healthcare provider, and find out what it is. But the best thing I would say to those folks is, don't hold back. We need all hands on deck right now. This shortage is serious, and we're working with as many people as we possibly can, again, from manufacturers to individual makers. If you have the ability to do even 5 to 10 pieces of PPE, whatever that product might be, do it. But do it in a way that's making sure it's safe and effective, and that's by going onto our site and using that system.
I think we're riding the wave of a maker revolution. We have been a service economy for so long, where what America does best is they do service. But we stopped making things because the processes were so expensive. Labor was so expensive. This is a game changer to me. At least it feels that way. Does it feel that way to you?
It is. you know, we've known each other for years, and you know, my background is politics and campaigns. And I've floated around kind of in-house stuff for a while and always was missing that mission-driven sense of working in campaigns. And one of the reasons that attracted me to this industry was just that, is that we are at the forefront of really changing the way manufacturing is done in this country and really changing the way that the consumer interacts with products. And that's incredibly exciting and incredibly mission-driven. And now more than ever, we're seeing that, you know, unfold in a time of crisis. It's just being expedited in a way that we didn't think it possibly could be.
Well, you live in Ohio now. You're a Long Island native, and we knew each other from Northern Virginia, but there's something exciting about Ohio from a manufacturing standpoint. Historically, you have the Wright brothers. There's something in the state of Ohio that fosters tinkering and innovation. So I don't think it's a mistake that America Makes is based in Youngstown, Ohio. Yeah. I really don't. So I know I got into my career as a recruiter kind of serendipitously. The phone rang. A former hiring manager of mine said, help, I need help. Can you come work for me? And I said, I've never been a recruiter before. I kind of have a feeling that people who are playing with these technologies are having a similar sort of moment right now, which is to say, I am not a maker. I don't know what a maker does, or I don't know if I could do this for a career. Let's disabuse that notion. How could they do that for a career? How could they pivot into doing this? And you just pointed out the meaningfulness aspect of being a maker. What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's hobbyists, right? And there's actual makers. And I think that the very cool thing about additive manufacturing is that you could start with a printer in your garage or your home office, and then it can kind of just grow from there like it can with any industry that you work on, right? Like if you're a communications consultant, it starts with just a desktop and a keyboard and some connections, and you go from there. It's the same kind of concept. And I don't think we've ever seen that before in manufacturing, right? Never before in the history of manufacturing. Maybe a blacksmith or something like that. I got started with some ironworks, but can you actually start and impact the manufacturing supply chain with a piece of equipment in your home office? And I think if you come up with a design, and just like you would anything else, you come up, if you're an inventor and an entrepreneur, you come up with a design and it's a good one and you can get it out there in the normal path that you would, whether that's patented or not, I don't know. You have the opportunity to build something special and make that a career and really have an impact just by the virtue of, again, how this space is completely changing the way consumers interact with the supply chain and products. And I think that's incredibly powerful. It really is incredibly powerful. So no, I deal with a lot of folks at America Makes and a lot of our member companies, especially the big guys that have engineering backgrounds that came to this through chemical engineering or even computer engineering because of the programming it takes to sometimes do some of the larger scale 3D printing. But you see every day small startup level companies, and Youngstown has several of them that are just starting up because somebody had something in their basement or their home office and they were starting to produce and it took off and there was a little bit of a demand and that demand grew a little bit more and now their product portfolio is growing a little bit more and so forth, just like it would any other company. It's really cool to watch.
How would somebody overcome skill gaps? You mentioned engineering. Not everybody's an engineer. Does America Makes have any thoughts about how we as potential makers could fill in the gaps in our skill array?
There's a great array of associations out there that do a lot of training that are maker focused and not necessarily corporate focused, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So they're much more focused on the individual to do just that, to help people develop those skills that they might be lacking to really take their opportunity to the next level. The very starter level of 3D printers out there are very user-friendly, very easy to use. But as obviously, if you want to grow that into a career, you need a little bit of training. And there are organizations out there that focus on the actual individual maker.
I really appreciate the time with you today. If somebody wanted to learn more about America Makes and additive technology, where on social media would you point them?
We have our Facebook page, America Makes, and also LinkedIn page and Twitter at America Makes. Follow us on there. We're constantly updating not just everything that's going on with the COVID response, obviously, but just all sorts of technical information, things that are going on in the industry trends, highlighting different projects. There's all sorts of great information on there to find information about the industry. And of course, feel free to reach out to me directly. I'm happy to connect you with some of the folks in our office that might have some additional information about some more specifics around some of the products.
This is really exciting stuff. Andrew Resnick, thank you so much for being on the tightrope. I think additive tech and 3D printing is going to be the future of work and perhaps even the meaningful work that they hope to do. So thank you so much for enlightening us today.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it, Dan. This is a really exciting time to be in this industry, and I'm looking forward to many more exciting times as we kind of move out of this crisis to see where it goes. As always, great catching up with you.
Thank you. Links to Andrew Resnick's and America Makes social media are provided in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Please join us again for more inspiring stories from people who walk the tightrope to seek and do meaningful work. You can subscribe to us wherever you get podcasts or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Tightrope Podcast. Together, let's walk the tightrope to find and do meaningful work, for the future of work is meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week.